three, two.
Morning, church family. I hope you guys are keeping well. It really is a privilege for me to be once again sharing with you this morning or this afternoon or this evening, whenever it is in fact that you're actually watching this message. For those of you that I haven't had the privilege of meeting, my name's Quinton, one of the leaders here at Grace City, and actually currently running our evening service. I don't know about you guys, but I was reflecting back on this week, and it's just crazy to think that we are already in October. It's just, time seems to be absolutely flying by, and for anybody who needs a little bit of a reality check, there's only 13 weeks to go until Christmas. So you really need to start getting those online orders in. There's a bit of a backlog. So there's some godly wisdom in that, I'm sure. And for those of you that forgot and you woke up this morning a little bit more tired than usual, a reminder that that clock's actually changed last night. And for those of you that know me, that loss of 1 hour sleep will mean that I'm certainly a little bit grumpier this morning. But hey, on a positive note, we're on the final turn and the final straight towards summer, so happy days. It was also really great to hear this week and see the vaccine numbers continuing to increase, and we're starting to hear about our very own Freedom Day, which is certainly getting a lot closer. And whilst there's a little bit of uncertainty between, you know, the 70% and the 80% and what we can do at 1 December, it's great to actually see that there's now a firm plan in place. And as Fusi shared with us last week, at times like this, we actually call to affirm good government policies, and we actually call to partner with them in this. So as we come out of this COVID situation towards our post-freedom life. And then we had Gladys's resignation, and as Fusi called us to as a church, the importance of actually praying too for our government. So please continue to join me in that over the next week or so. But for those of you that have joined in over the last couple and dialed in and tuned in to the last couple of weeks, you'll know that we're now in our fourth edition or our fourth part of our What We Believe series. And I'm sure that you will agree with me that it's been a really fantastic opportunity for us to unpack some big important questions, and hearing from some of the wider leaders in the Regions Beyond team has been really fantastic, and they've absolutely blessed us with some wonderful teaching. And today, friends, you're stuck with me, and I must actually profess I was asking the question, how on earth did I get stuck between Fusi Mokoena and Dave Devenish next week? I mean, it's just crazy. But hey, we serve a faithful God and a loving Father that doesn't always call the qualified, but He equips and He qualifies those that are humble and are willing. And that's where I find myself this morning. So this morning, I have the wonderful privilege of sharing with you on what is the kingdom. And for those of you that listened to Fusi's message last week, you'll recall that he introduced and he actually spoke a little bit about the kingdom of God. And it's amazing how that often happens when you're running through a series. So today, what I'm hoping to do is actually expand a little bit further and provide us as a church with an increased measure and understanding of the importance of this topic. I'd emphasize as I begin and I sort of start off that as we refer to the kingdom, it is important for us to recognize that the phrases kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are in fact interchangeable. We see this throughout scripture, and I'm almost certainly going to be using these words interchangeably this morning. The kingdom of God is synonymous with the kingdom of heaven. You see, we can't have one without the other. They are identical, and the concept of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven take on various meanings in the different passages of scripture that they find themselves. And here's a fun fact for any theologians out there, but the phrase kingdom of God occurs 68 times in 10 different New Testament books, while the kingdom of heaven occurs only 32 times and only in the Gospel of Matthew. While the exact phrase is not actually found in the Old Testament, the existence of God's kingdom is expressed similarly in the Old Testament. And I must be honest that I really did actually feel a bit of a weight in bringing this message today. You see, a message that carries a title as significant as "What is the Kingdom?" You see, in many respects, it grounds our understanding, our beliefs, our expressions, and ultimately the entire working out of our Christian life. You see, broadly speaking, the kingdom of God, it's the supreme reign of an eternal, of a sovereign God over all the universe where Jesus Christ is king, where God's authority is recognized and his will is obeyed. The reality of this for us is that the kingdom is, and it should be evidenced in every single aspect of our lives. It's about social, it's about political and cultural order. And that as we look through it in the lens of today's society and today's sort of moral standards, must be transformed by God's grace to participate in, and importantly, for them to bear fruit in the kingdom. See, it doesn't get any bigger than that. And as we look at scripture and as we read and we find so many verses that speak about God's undeniable sovereignty over all creation, we read in Psalm 103, verse 19, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over it." And Daniel 4, verse 3, "His kingdom is an eternal kingdom." And going through a time of preparation, I think that it probably dawned on me that I don't spend enough time praying and enough time considering that the true magnitude of his kingdom in that sense. You see, the concept of the kingdom of God, it's not primarily one of space, of territory, or political sense in a national kingdom, but rather one of kingly rule, of reign, of sovereign control. I read a commentary that summarized the kingdom of God in 8 simple but profoundly powerful words, and it read, "God's people in God's place under God's rule." Incredibly powerful. And with this in mind, and as we start to potentially narrow our view to a more personal level, the kingdom of God it's also a spiritual rule over our hearts and the lives of those who are willing to submit to God's authority. You see, these things, these broad and these narrow aspects, they are good things. And we need to view it in that way. You see, we are a people who have a king. We are a people under sovereign authority. We have an identity. We have a place. We have a purpose to thrive and to grow. But on the other side of the scale, there's also a more sort of confronting reality that comes along with the kingdom of God. And to ensure that we don't shy away from biblical truth, it also requires understanding. But those who defy God's authority and refuse to submit to him are not part of the kingdom of God. And if that is you today, I just want to say to you, please don't turn off just yet, because I want to come back to this point, as there's always an open invitation to all people everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is, it's encapsulated as we look at scripture and we understand that it was the central theme of Jesus' own teaching, was in fact the kingdom of God. And whilst we are a people set apart in God's kingdom, it is and it should never be a holy huddle where it's a members only, nobody else is welcome sort of club. You see, because It's our commission, it's our command as Christ followers to reach the lost and to bring them into the kingdom. With God's overall sovereignty understood, I want to move to have a look at what it means for us in a more of a personal sense, and the blessings and the advantages that flow from living under Christ's rule. And for me, this is encapsulated by our kingdom citizenship. And for those of you that know Kate and I, you'll know that we've moved all over the world and we've lived in a number of different countries. But we were also recently adopted by Australia as citizens. And it's a real significant event and something that we are so grateful for. But it means that as citizens, we legally belong to a country and we have the rights and the protection of that country. It is also understanding that as we spend more time in that country, that the citizens start to adopt the culture and the practices of that nation or that kingdom to which they belong. So even as a South African who lived in the UK and lived in New Zealand, when we landed in Sydney, we started adopting Aussie culture. You see, Vegemite is now a staple in our pantry. I wear thongs. I couldn't say that in any other country in the world. And the barbecue is replacing the braai. Okay, maybe that's a step too far, but you guys get the picture in that it's inherent that our characteristics and behaviors change for the context or the country or the kingdom that we find ourselves in. The reality is that we are all born into the kingdom of this world. And as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, Satan is the god, small g. Satan is the small g god of this world. And the consequence of that is that we grow up adopting a culture, a practice, and a values that he instigates. The reality and the realization of that is that Satan's kingdom enslaves its citizens. It's one of darkness. It's one of deceit. It's one of hardened hearts. And we will remain captives in this kingdom of sin, headed for destruction, until we come to the realization that Jesus frees us from that. And the wonderful thing is, when we are born again by faith in Jesus Christ, we are born into the kingdom of heaven. And our citizenship is in heaven. We become kingdom citizens. We start to take on a new culture. We start to become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life begins. You see, the working out of this process as we transform from earthly citizens to kingdom citizens is that God sends his Holy Spirit to indwell, to be permanently present in our spirits, and our bodies become his temple. The power of the Holy Spirit begins to transform our sinful worldly desires into those that glorify God. How many of us can testify to this truth? Even as I look back over my own life, there are many things that I would say that I'm less proud of. But through God's grace, he changes us from the inside. And we start a process of transformation. Just like the transformation when we landed here from South Africa. You see, I will always be a South African. But I take on a new identity as an Australian, and that transforms my behaviors and my characteristics. I love the promise in Romans 8, verse 29, where it talks about God knowing his people in advance. And it talks about God's desire for them, for us to become like his son. You see, It's God's goal to make us as much like Jesus as possible in this life. It's so powerful. It's so challenging as I even consider that phrase and how aligned I am with God's will in my own life on a day-to-day basis. That, friends, is the kingdom of heaven working in and through us. As a citizen of heaven, we now follow a different set of rules, a different set of laws. We are called to live a life in accordance with the laws of heaven, which is where our true citizenship lies. It's not according to the world we live in. And God never promises that it's going to be easy, but He promises infinite grace and love to help us through the process. Fusi did such a great job last week where he helped us unpack these two realms, these two spheres in which we can operate. And he drew the connection between us ensuring that we've got a good grounding in the kingdom of God to adequately prepare and equip us for our response to the kingdom of earth. So it becomes less about the world through rose-tinted glasses, if you like, and more about being equipped to handle what life throws at you. So the question is, how do you go about doing this? But here's the easy part. It's about praying. We look at this in two ways. As Christians, we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. God, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And as non-Christians, I would encourage you to pray and to ask God to reveal himself to you. It's about inviting God into your heart and into your life and then trusting for the kingdom transformation that I spoke about to take place in your life. As a kingdom citizen, there's also an understanding that God's kingdom has yet to be fulfilled on this earth. And it's not just about a desire to see Jesus coming again in the future, but it's also an equal measure of urgency and desire to see God's kingdom grow and become more established throughout the world. Praying your kingdom come means asking our Heavenly Father to help us in our own lives to be more faithful, obedient, authentic, and to be more effective Christians. And the reason why we do that is because we spread God's kingdom not only through our words, but also through our actions and the qualities of our character. It's how we shine a light in the darkness that matters. It's where we display and where we model godly characteristics that make the culture and society of today acknowledge that there is something different about us. It's about our work colleagues. It's about our business partners and strangers identifying that there is something different about you. There's something different about you, Miles. There's something different about you, Glenn, Helen, Steve, Tamara, Dwayne, Malcolm, the list goes on. There's something different about each and every one of you in the church. If we're operating in a different realm, in a different sphere, one that is rooted in the kingdom of God, how can it not transform and alter our communities, culture, and society in general? But here's the thing. In isolation, whilst we trust that God can do immeasurably more through us, it sometimes feels that whilst we're alone, it's like boiling a pot of water with a single candle. And this, friends, is where we need to come together and corporately seek the kingdom of God in a real, meaningful, and tangible way. We need to become a body. We need to become a church with a heart after God, with a hunger and a thirst for things of the kingdom. And then that single candle needs to become 5 candles, 10, 50 candles, until that candle transforms into a flamethrower, that pot of water, that community has no chance but to boil, but to be transformed by the kingdom behavior and kingdom characteristics. As we move to understand the role church plays in the kingdom, it becomes evident that the presence of the kingdom produces the church. And a genuine church is the kingdom of God in this day and age. Today, we as believers live the kingdom life in and through the church. And as a church operating in the power of the kingdom, it is about us never forsaking the word. It's about us seeking more of the Spirit. It's about us desiring and operating more in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's about us praying for and helping those in need. It's about a heart, a burning heart and a desire to see the lost found. It's about mission. It's about gospel advance and the growth of the kingdom until our Lord and Savior returns. And friends, as I bring this to a close and I calm down a little bit of my excitement, I wasn't initially sure where to actually land this message. And in praying about it, I felt God speak to me about landing it in Scripture. And so whilst it may be a little bit scriptural heavy and it's not always easy over video, here, friends, are a few verses that I believe we as a church should really lay hold of as we consider the kingdom and what it means for us today. Luke 4, verse 43, Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because this is why I was sent." Friends, we must never forsake doing our very best to take and to reflect the good news of the gospel to the world. This is why we were sent. This is why we are in this place at this time. Matthew 13, verse 44 reads, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field." It is like a treasure. When found, when unearthed, the kingdom of heaven has priceless value. Sometimes we just need to, in a way, get a little bit dirty. We need to get a little bit uncomfortable unearthing that and looking for that. But it has priceless value. In Luke 12, verse 31, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else." And I feel that this verse speaks to us equally as believers or even those that are still journeying towards Jesus. Above all else, we are called to seek God and to seek His kingdom. This is a call personally, but also corporately for us today, friends. So my encouragement is this: to make the things of the kingdom of God a priority in your lives. It's about us as a church seeking to do more in this earthly kingdom and a desire to see it be transformed to be more kingdom of God-like. Friends, I hope that has encouraged you. Please continue to keep well, continue to reach out to us, engage midweek during your catch-ups in your life groups. And please continue to take care. Love you guys lots. All the best.